Good morning and welcome to all, particularly our guests who join us here today for the offering of this Mass on this third Sunday of the Advent season, traditionally known as Gaudete Sunday. And Gaudete is a Latin word that means to rejoice. And that is what we hear in the opening antiphon or the introit for the Mass, that theme to rejoice that we hear repeated from the prophet Zephaniah from St. Paul's letter to the church in Philippi. That the celebration of the Lord's nativity is near, and so today we set aside the purple vestments and put on the rose-colored ones and also light the third candle in the Advent wreath, the pink or the rose-colored candle. To rejoice in the Lord's love and mercy, we're going to be offering at the conclusion of this Mass the anointing of the sick. For this sacrament, we invite those who are elderly, and you can determine how old you have to be to fall in that category, or those who are chronically ill, regardless of age, or those preparing for surgery or medical procedure in the near future, to come forward to receive this sacrament of God's healing, forgiveness, and mercy. You'll be anointed with oil consecrated by Bishop Slattery for that purpose. You'll be anointed on your forehead and the palms of your hands. Now, for our guest, if you please bear with us for a moment, we have a little bit of parish business to take care of. If you have a bulletin with you, you may open it at this time. You'll see an insert in there. It is the financial report for the first quarter of our parish finances from July the 1st to September the 30th, and my apologies for the delay in presenting this to you. In a nutshell, our expenses... Projected expenses were down, which is good, but also so was our revenue, which is not good, particularly in our Sunday collections. In fact, about a 20% less than what we had budgeted for. Now, that's cause for concern, but not panic. We have a net loss for those first 3 months of fiscal year of about $13,000 in the red. Again, cause for concern, but not panic. So far in the second quarter, particularly in this month of December, we've received some substantial gifts that are given to us, whether it's from estates or from maybe the end of the year, end of the calendar year for tax purposes we've received. So we anticipate some more of those before the end of this month. And usually that first financial quarter, our collections are low anyway. We do have the WeShare online giving for those who are interested in it. We have about 40 families that are taking part in that now. We've been about doing this for a little over a year. For about 13 months. So if you know somebody who wants to make a nice donation to the parish before the 31st of this year for their taxes, encourage them to do so. And so we do think that the second quarter will look better, but it is cause for concern, but not of panic. One of the categories at the bottom of the financial statement is about our social concerns and peace is justice ministry. The money that they distribute is donated directly for that purpose. It's not coming out of the parish budget in that sense. And the social concerns, they give a monthly stipend to various charitable organizations such as Neighbor for Neighbor, the Clare House, Meals on Wheels, and so on. But they've also tried to expand the help to give to people who come to us needed assistance for their rent, utilities, and such. Unfortunately, the need is so great that they were very quickly outpacing their revenue, the donations that were coming in. So they had to scale that back, at least for the time being. So that's why they have a deficit for that for the first 3 months of the fiscal year. But we will pray that things will look better after the end of this next quarter, which includes at the end of this month. My thanks to the Finance Committee for the parish helping to prepare this statement. If you have any questions about this or want to see some more details, those are available upon request. You now have my permission to close your bulletin for the remainder of the Mass. Please know that our men's group will meet for dinner tomorrow night, beginning, I believe, about 6:30, and all the men of the parish are invited to attend. All of the men, all of us guys are welcome to come. Please know that this week I will be available to hear confessions on weeknights only on Wednesday of this week from 5 to 6. I'll be helping on Tuesday night at St. Pius for their Advent Reconciliation Service. And also remind you about the Advent Novena that begins this Wednesday evening. For those families and individuals who cannot come on Wednesday, we do have the prayer booklets available for you to pray at home on the nights that you cannot come to take part in the Novena here. The important part is that we are praying the Novena, whether here together or as families at home. Barbershops and hair salons and nail salons often have a sign that I've noticed by their front door. It usually says, walk-ins welcome. Now, sometimes it's best to make an appointment to go get your hair done or get a haircut or so on. Having your nails done, I'm afraid I don't know much about that. But so you can have often get an appointment for it to fit into one's busy schedule. But an open door policy is good for business. Open doors have that effect, inviting people in, to walk in through the doorway, to come inside. Closed doors have just the opposite effect, especially if the doors are locked. They keep out the uninvited, the unwanted, and possibly the dangerous, because who among us, when we go to bed at night, don't lock our doors for that very reason? It's not by chance, then, that a symbol associated with what we call a holy year or a jubilee year is an open door. For an open door is an invitation to come inside. This last Tuesday, we started what is being called an extraordinary jubilee year of mercy. Extraordinary because they're usually held at once every 25 years. But I guess one of the perks of being a pope is that you don't have to follow that rule. You can call for a jubilee year as needed. So beginning on December the 8th, the Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception of the Virgin Mary, this new holy year has begun and will continue until Christ the King Sunday of next year, which is November the 20th. It is a unique time to focus on the meaning of God's mercy. As Pope Francis puts it, mercy is when God touches us. Jesus is the human face of the Father's mercy, and we are invited to pray for and with this meaning of mercy as an ongoing conversion of living our faith in Jesus Christ as His church. On Tuesday, Pope Francis ceremoniously opened what is called the Holy Door at St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. Normally, that door is closed except for during a holy year. And today, at noon, at Holy Family Cathedral, Bishop Slattery will do the same thing for us. That a door at the cathedral that has been designated as the holy door for this year of mercy. Now, entering through a holy door has, part of it has to do with the gaining of indulgences, meaning God's freeing someone from punishment due to sin. Now, it's more than simply walking back and forth through a door. It's not quite that easy for the indulgences, because then it also includes making a good confession, receiving the Eucharist in a state of grace, making a profession of faith, and also praying the intentions that Pope Francis has for this holy year. It is all part of that desire for conversion that the door represents. Now, opening and entering a door is more than a symbolic act or physical movement, because crossing through the holy door is part of a spiritual journey, a deeper desire for conversion, for holiness, to encounter Christ, that encounter with Jesus, that the human face of the Father's mercy. For the purpose of this holy year is to see that the door to the Father's mercy is always open, inviting us to walk through it, and also inviting us to live out this mercy. And I think that's what appears to be at the heart of the question asked of John the Baptist in today's Gospel reading from Luke. The question is, what should we do? It's asked in part of the expectation of encountering the presence of God, the coming of the long-awaited Savior, the Christ. What is to be done in preparation? How are we to respond? Or simply, what should we do? Three groups ask this question. One is kind of a general group called the crowds. Another group are the tax collectors, people who are notorious for their corruption. And also soldiers, who often, it seemed, abused their authority and their power. But all of them are expressing a desire for conversion. And John the Baptist, the great prophet of Advent, this time of waiting and preparing, replies with the challenge to act with charity, kindness, honesty, integrity, or in short, respond with mercy. Thereby the door of the heart is opened to receiving Jesus the Christ, the face of mercy. What John the Baptist tells those who desire conversion is a means to live it out in some concrete ways. For faith is always more than a theory. It's more than a feeling. His reply in many ways is the foundation of what we as Catholics should recognize as the works of mercy. Seven physical, or we call them corporal, works or acts, such as feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, clothe the naked, shelter the homeless, visit the sick, visit those in prison, and bury the dead. There are seven other spiritual works or acts of mercy, such as counsel the doubtful, instruct the ignorant. And ignorant, not as we normally use it today as an insult, but rather those who simply don't know and can be enlightened by the truth. Another one of the spiritual works is to correct sinners, but to do so out of love. Another is to comfort the afflicted. Another is to forgive offenses. Another is to bear wrongs patiently. A lot of us might need some work on those two. They continue on. The last is to pray for the living and the dead. In our desire for conversion, to prepare to encounter Jesus, this is what we should be doing. And in these ways, we walk through that open door of mercy. These 14 works of mercy are ones that we should not only know by heart, that we should not only be teaching to our children, but more important, that we should be living. And as we desire and as we attempt to do so, don't be surprised that practicing mercy, well, it may take some practice, particularly about that forgiving offenses, burying with wrongs done to us. If it takes some practice, don't get discouraged. Remember, this year of mercy is a whole year. We don't have to cram everything into the first 2 weeks. Last week, Pope Francis said of this year of mercy that this jubilee is a privileged moment for the church to learn what pleases God most. And what is it that pleases God most? To forgive His children. To have mercy on them so that we can in turn forgive our brothers and sisters shining as torches of God's mercy in the world. So in our desire for conversion and to be touched by God's mercy and to be transformed, we continue to light the candles on our Advent wreaths. And on this Sunday, in which we are called to rejoice for the Lord is near, we do so knowing that the doors of mercy are open and we are invited to walk through them. It is in this mercy that reaches out to touch and transform us that these children of ours who yesterday received, took part in their first reconciliation. And a thank you to the parents, the siblings, the grandparents that were here who also took part in that sacrament. A living witness to our sons and daughters of how God's mercy reaches out to touch us. That mercy that also reaches out to touch those who are to be anointed in the sacrament of the sick, that know in our illness, in our frailty, the Lord is with us to touch us with mercy. That mercy that reaches out to touch and transform us in the gift of the Eucharist that is offered to us today in this Mass. For the doors of God's mercy are always open, inviting us to walk through them and to rejoice.